Welcome, everyone. Glad to have you here at our very first quarter 2024 Beacon Church Collaborative Zoom meeting. And at this meeting, we are very, very thrilled and honored to have a speaker join us. She'll be speaking on the topic, Inclusive Faith, Developing Opportunities for Rewarding Experiences, Serving Together. So Victoria Wright, whom we also affectionately call Tori, hello Tori, she is the program director at With Ministries and is a board member of the Disability Ministry Network. She holds a master's degree in special education from Calvin University, and we are honored to learn from her today. And with that, Tori, I'm handing off the reins to you. Please take it away.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie. This is just an honor and a delight. I love everything I get to do with Bridge Ministries. We've collaborated a couple of times over the last decade or so, if I think about how many years that's been spread around. So, love all the things that you all are doing, and especially how you are reaching congregations and church leaders in your community. So, always excited to do that. With Ministries is really passionate about ministry with people of all abilities. And our goal is to equip church leaders everywhere to be fully embracing and participating in worship with people of all abilities. So that is what we are all about. I'm going to start sharing my screen. I do have a presentation, and I did also share with Jackie a handout that can be helpful just to contribute to your thinking, either during or after this. And so I do tend to use some visuals. I can also use provide visual descriptions of what's on the screen. And that just is really a helpful way to guide through a conversation. So ministry with people with disabilities is sort of the short version of the title, although Jackie's was much more eloquent. So as we think about this, there are varying levels of familiarity with people with disabilities in our ministry contexts. And I'm always aware of that it's really helpful to come at this and sort of provide an essential vocabulary, if you will, that we can all be speaking the same language when we do this. And so I'm often called upon to speak about inclusion, and I want to just make it very clear from the start what I mean by inclusion, right? And for one thing, I'm speaking specifically about including people with disabilities in our ministry contexts. And secondly, that inclusion is not just about one person. It's about what happens in the entire community that when that person is a part of it. And I'm actually borrowing the words of my late mentor and the well-known national author, Barbara J. Newman, who literally wrote the book, Accessible Gospel, Inclusive Worship. So just so that you have a little bit of a context for what I mean when I talk about inclusive worship, or as we talk about participating in ministry with people of all abilities, that's the language that I am using. And with my work with congregations around the country over the last however many years I've been doing this, probably more than I'd like to admit, but delightedly so, right? I've come to find that a simple framework or a simple plan is so much more effective for congregations and church leaders than a lot of overwhelming ideas or topics or idea or this thought that you need to sort of launch separate ministry specifically for people with disabilities in every single congregation. And so what seems to make a lot more sense to people is, let's just have a three-part plan. Pastors love three-point sermons, right? And if we could even alliterate those, then all the better, easier to remember. So I've stuck with that format, and it's seemed to really help a lot of congregations around the nation. So a three-part plan for building belonging in congregations with people of all abilities focuses on three things: puzzle piece, perspective, participation for all through universal design, and personalization through responsive design when that is also needed. So I'll just briefly share a little bit about what I mean by those things, and then we're going to dive into how that applies as we're thinking about serving and leading as people with varied abilities in our contexts. So here we go. Perspective. What do I mean by puzzle piece perspective? As written about in the book, Worship as One: Varied Abilities in the Body of Christ, we share about puzzle piece perspective. And we simply mean that each one of us is a puzzle piece in the body of Christ. And that means that we all fit together, just as it says in 1 Corinthians. But it also means that each one of us is an important puzzle piece that has two different sides. Each one of us has greens, those areas of strength and gifting and ability, the things we love to do. And those are things that we often want to find employment or volunteer positions doing, because that means that we get to spend a lot of time doing those things. The other side of our puzzle piece is the pink side of our puzzle piece, those hot spots, those things that we aren't so fond of doing. We hope that we don't get called upon to do them very often. We might not be able to do them very well. We might need support in order to do those things. But each one of us has both sides of that puzzle piece. And so, as we fit together as the body of Christ, as God has arranged those parts to fit, which is absolutely true of Scripture, because He didn't design any one of us to stand alone as an all green puzzle piece, as if we were the entire puzzle all by ourselves, right? He's arranged each one of us specifically with our unique giftings as well as our unique needs for support, so that where I have greens, someone else can come alongside and I can use my greens to support them just as much as I bring my pink areas and my needs for support, and someone who has green areas there can be that support for me. So we come together as the body of Christ, and that's how God designed us to work together in community, because we are in fact designed for community. So that is this idea of puzzle piece perspective, which is helpful as we think about disability, which can so often mean a person is labeled, can even be defined by those disabilities, those pink areas, or those needs for support. And the truth is that each one of us has greens that contribute to the community as well. So that's just an important piece of our perspective and language as we go into this. And it can change how we talk about ministry. For one thing, it provides our stance as a ministry in which we use person-first language, though I know that many individuals do prefer identity-based language, which I will use if I know that person and know that that person prefers language like that. For example, if I know someone is autistic and refers to themselves as an autistic person, as opposed to a person with autism. But scripturally, I also know that each one of us is created in the image of God. And so each one of us is a person first who is an image bearer of God, and all other attributes are secondary to that, including hair color, height, weight, ability, disability, other labels or diagnoses, right? So that is our stance as with ministries on the use of language. It also indicates that this is now ministry with people of all abilities, because we all come with those pinks and those greens. It's not ministry to people who are all pink people, or ministry for people who only need support, right? Each one of us has giftings and abilities to contribute to the community. So it's ministry with one another. Because if there's a focus on what we can do, those greens that each one of us bring, and therefore, it's all about really creating belonging together, and not just about that inclusion. It's not just that you are allowed to come into this space and be a part of the puzzle. It's that you truly belong here. You are a missing piece if you're not here. So that's just a very brief overview of what I mean by puzzle piece perspective in congregations. And we'll get into some practical applications and tools for these in just a few minutes. To briefly go over what I mean by participation through universal design, I'll share what I mean about that. So that is indicating things that say that we are expecting people with varied abilities to be here. Just as buildings now are constructed, if they have multiple stories, an elevator will be built right in. In fact, it's not lost on me that that's actually the first thing that is constructed in a multi-story building. You'll see the elevator tower go up before you see pretty much anything else begin construction on that building. And it's not as if the architect or the construction company went around the neighborhood knocking on doors saying, "Excuse me, do you use a wheelchair? Are you going to need an elevator in this building? Because if so, then I guess we'll put one in. But if you're not going to need that, then we're just going to have stairs in this building." They don't do that, right? They just start from the beginning expecting that people will need to get to multiple floors of this building, and an elevator is going to be the access for how to do that. So that is what I mean by universal design. It's borrowing from that language in architecture, which now education has also caught on to. And there is a lot going around in the education world now about universal design for learning, which really just means that you expect that learners will be in classrooms and in your various academic contexts who learn differently from one another. So what that means is everyone needs to think options, providing options. So you have stairs as well as elevators, right? You have listening as well as watching as modes to take in information, for example. Or I think of it even in terms of our snacks provided, right? Are you just going to provide pretzels?
All
In
set.
which case, anyone who is gluten-free or needs something softer, right? So for a variety of things, or someone who maybe needs low sodium snacks, right? So instead, it's offering a few different options. So have some of those potato chips, have some nuts, have a variety of things so that people have choices and therefore they can all participate in snack time instead of you only providing one choice and either you get snack or you don't get snack. So that's a really simplified version, but also very applicable one in our ministry contexts. So I think of food as a really great place to start when we're thinking about offering options. But again, that's the idea, is that we expect people to need a variety of choices when it comes to participating. And again, I'll get into some more tools in a couple of minutes, but one of them that I really like to highlight is this idea of worship being a conversation with God. And that's a whole theological point on which we could talk for a while as well. But if we think about worship as a conversation with God, and are we making that accessible? Are we expecting people with a variety of abilities and limitations to engage in that conversation with God when we gather corporately? So are we offering ways to say, God, I love you. God, what can I do? God, thank you. Right? And have we made even this liturgy, these very churchy words that we call confession, thanksgiving, lament, illumination, right? Just putting even those ideas into simple language and pairing them with an icon is expanding the amount of options and the accessibility for people to engage in that conversation with God, even if that's simply because they've never set foot in a church before and have never heard the word liturgy. So that's why I love this idea of the vertical habits or these concepts in which conversation with God is what we mean when we talk about worship, and that there are a lot of different ways to engage in that conversation with God that can mean verbal exchanges, singing words. It can mean a lot of other things as well. So that's an idea from the book, Accessible Gospel, Inclusive Worship. Now, personalization, that third part of the three-part plan. So the first part is perspective, second part is participation, and the third part is personalization. And I suppose I would just sum it up to say, no matter how many options you build in, you will probably still need to personalize some things for individuals whose needs for support are just something that you couldn't anticipate, or they're in addition to other things that you've already put in place. So that's where we respond to individual needs. That's why I call it responsive design. If universal design is just building things in place that allow everyone to participate more fully because you've built in options to choose from, responsive design is putting something in place specifically to respond to an individual's needs for support. And so that can start with obviously getting to know the person and/or the family, right? Maybe the caregivers who are involved. Siblings, parents, right? Kind of get to know the whole story of this situation and this person and their family. Therefore, you can design accordingly what participation will look like. So, a way to do that is simply with ministries has several resources for getting to know people, whether that's through an interview process or filling out some information on, say, an online form or a written form. So that you get to know exactly what it is that this individual might need in order to fully participate, as well as what is it they want to participate in, right? So asking a few simple questions, and I'll get more into that in a little while. But also you can then take that information and, with permission, share it with those who need to know in order for this participation to really work for everyone involved. So getting to know the person in the story is where it begins to do that. And from there, you're able to make a plan, which has two and sometimes three parts to it. So obviously you need part one, the plan for the individual. What might be the accommodations, modifications, equipment, supplies, training, et cetera, that's going to help that person to flourish. But also, what about for the others involved? For example, you might provide sound blockers for an individual when church is too loud for them. But what about sharing with the rest of the congregation that you have sound blockers available and why those might be helpful to someone because your church service, no matter how you adjust the volume in order to try to please just about everybody who has an opinion on what's loud enough or too loud for your worship and the songs and the speakers and the microphones and everything else. But you're providing sound blockers, and that those are also a part of your service now. And that's an expected thing that some individuals might benefit from, and therefore they're in place. So that now it's expected by the congregation that this will be a part of your church service, and you're not creating the situation in which one person will be singled out or othered or looked at oddly for having something like that in that setting. And then it can mean a third part, which can often, as I've already mentioned, include a plan for the family. So that might entail what it might take to help that family arrive on Sunday morning, not just be able to come into the service. So, for example, when, say, a buddy, or some churches call them sidekicks or assistants or whatever, a one-on-one person is designated to a person to help them to be able to participate fully in the worship service. Well, might it be helpful for that individual to meet at the parking lot, right at the vehicle, as opposed to the whole family having to come inside before that one-on-one person connects with the individual, right? So some of those kinds of things of how are we thinking about the entire family that is involved in this plan? So we obviously have some samples and templates available at withministries.org, and I would always be happy to talk through what that could look like in your setting as well. But we think about worship settings as having four distinct areas, and that's in that sort of praise and worship, the corporate worship time, in education and learning, and that can mean Bible study, and that can mean book studies or other types of groups in the church setting. It also means fellowship and those social interactions and social times. And finally, it means service. And that's what Jackie and I talked about this session, focusing a lot on is how are people with disabilities serving and even leading in our congregations and in our ministry contexts? And so why does maybe this three-part plan fit that can be helpful as you think about that particular context? So with that in mind, I have a few tools I want to share before we get into some of your questions about things today. So a few types of tools that relate to each of these three areas in terms of puzzle piece tools. I want to share one with you that is a great way to identify what those gifts and areas of need for support could be, or the greens and the pinks, if I go back to that language, right? So it's a great way to be able to identify what those things are. So for example, you have someone who is coming into your church and says, I want to serve. So you're going to want to identify, might they be a better fit for the hospitality crew serving the donuts and coffee that are available after service? Are they great at handshaking and smiling and greeting newcomers? Are they a great scripture reader? And could that be done through a device, if not through their own spoken words, right? Are they a great timekeeper? What about the sort of comings and goings? Does this person need a job to do in order to really feel like they have a place in that time and in that space? And maybe giving a job to do or a sort of errand to run can be a great way for them to avoid having to shake hands or say hi to people they don't know, but also still provides purpose as well as helps and serves the congregation in many ways. So how can you identify those sorts of things, right? Well, here is one very simple way. If you already have an intake form or a welcome to our church, tell us a little about yourself kind of form, whether that is online or whether that is a card that people receive at the door. Sometimes it's in sort of a welcome packet for first-time visitors. It's quite often a part of registering for any kind of children's ministry, whether that's a vacation Bible school, attending the nursery, or anything else on a given Sunday morning. And so I would suggest that on your intake form or whatever process you have for gathering information about newcomers, you'll have that basic sort of demographic information, name, phone number, email, contact information, things like that. But I would suggest that you ask a couple of questions. First, I would ask, what programs, services, or opportunities within our congregation do you wish to participate in? And you could list a few of the things that you have available, such as singing on Sunday mornings, midweek youth group, or Bible study, right? Whatever it might be that you're inviting people into, or that they can indicate they are interested in participating in, because that's going to help you guide where this plan needs to go. Or maybe you're asking specifically about service areas, right? So, yeah, are they interested in the hospitality team or helping in the office or, right, a variety of ways that your church might have service opportunities? And then I would ask two questions. First one based on the green side of the puzzle piece, and the second one based on the pink side. And I would do that in that order. So I would start with, what are some areas of strength and gifting that you can share with us? And give some examples that might be drawing, writing, encouraging, reading, attitude, social relationships, following rules, paying attention, technology, athletics, whatever those things might be that your church finds are important ones to name, just to help people think about, well, what are some things that I might be good at? Or if you're filling it out for someone who isn't filling out the form themselves, right? What are things that this child or this individual or this person could share that they enjoy doing it and want to be a part of doing and have gifts to share for the congregation. Then I would ask that question regarding pinks. What are some areas of struggles and challenges within this environment that you can share with us? And again, putting that context, it's in this environment because there are some environments in which it won't be a struggle, but it's within this church environment that it could be a need for support. And again, list those ideas. And I would list the same amount and perhaps the same ones that you offered in the first question: drawing, writing, encouraging, reading, attitude, social relationships, following rules, paying attention, technology, athletics. But I would go ahead and add in there if there are things like allergies or medical needs for the church to be aware of. Simply asking those two questions is going to provide you a wealth of information about the individual that. One, you'll get to know things they love to do, are motivated by, might be calmed by, and you can find connections with others because of those things that they are interested in, good at doing, etc. And then also, again, those needs for support that now you can think about, oh, so how might we plan for this individual to do those things they want to do? And now we know what kinds of supports are going to need to be put in place in order for that to go well. And the really fun part, I think, as a coordinator who has taken in this kind of information, is to get to connect the puzzle pieces and say, oh, this person's really strong in these areas. This person needs support in these areas. Let's pair them up so they can be complementary to one another, right? And serving side by side. So that's where the real excitement gets, is when you get to put the pieces together in the puzzle. So that's just one simple form, or even just an addition of a couple of questions to the forms that you're already using, that can be a way of sharing that puzzle piece perspective in your congregation. So participation in universal design, I already shared the idea of the vertical habits and our ways of worship, engaging with a conversation with God, but there are some other ideas specifically in the area of service. And one would simply be something that can help everybody, right? Because again, the idea is you put something in place and it can help universally, it helps just about everybody. And I think a preview, if you will, I'll call it a welcome story, can be so helpful for many, many people to say, what am I getting myself into? What are the behavioral expectations? What's the time limit? Where do I go? Who will I see? Right? Those kinds of questions that we ask of just about anything we want to get involved in. So providing a preview is extremely helpful, whether that is a few pictures paired with words, whether that's a short video clip, or whether that's a tour of the space and the activities before actually signing up to do it or showing up to have to do it, right? So a very brief example here would be one that I created for a child, we'll say is Jay, attending church. And he says, and when I create a welcome story specifically for an individual, I will use that person's name as well as their picture in it. So it's their story about participating in this. And then adding pages can be their own experience of adding things to this, if it were, for example, a book or a slideshow. But again, this could be a video, and you could make this generic for whatever the activity is, or the task, or the event, like a youth group overnight, or a service project, or even a service project trip or a missions trip, right? So for Jay, he says, "My name is Jay. I want to tell you about my church. Here's a picture of my church. It's called Northwood Church." So we have a clear picture of the outside of the church. "Sometimes I stay with my family when I'm at church. We sing, read, and listen together. Sometimes I go to junior church with other kids like these friends. In junior church, we play games and do activities, sometimes even outside. When it's time to go, my family comes to get me." And you'll notice I'm very particular about using the word sometimes, rather than always or putting specific times or conditions on things, because building in the word sometimes allows for flexibility that if you don't have that, you can get yourself in trouble as a ministry leader saying, this is how it is. And then on Easter, you change it and everyone's world is thrown off and that preview is now more of a hindrance than a help. So a few tips like that in language of how you construct your preview. And again, that could be based on that person's individual interest and the task or the setting in which you're talking about things. But a preview, just a really helpful tool. So like I said, a preview could be something on the website that shows what it looks like to come into this space. I've seen on some church websites, literally a door into the sanctuary. What does it look like to get here? And as, say, a wheelchair user, right? Can I see right there that I'm going to be able to, one, get there, two, get in the door, three, find my way around, right? Those types of things that a preview can be extremely helpful in answering so that that person truly knows that they are welcome and expected. What about when we're talking about engaging with scripture, right? I mentioned perhaps being a scripture reader could be an option for a person. What does that look like when people have differing levels of ability with reading or verbalization? Well, one curriculum that we have been a part of creating is called the Together curriculum. So I'm just going to show you a couple things from that to help you get some ideas. It's not that I'm trying to advertise, go use this Bible study curriculum, but I just want you to think about what does it look like to engage in scripture in some different ways. So we've built into each lesson that there are options. So reading scripture or engaging with scripture could actually mean watching a video. For example, in this unit on the Road to Jerusalem, which is a series of lessons all about following Jesus, we could talk about the scripture and just reading it from the page, or we can use this presentation that's been created that has built right into it times to pause and ask questions with discussion partners. And even those responses are given as a thumbs up, thumbs down option. So even without words, someone can be following along in the slideshow and answering questions to engage. We also have options to engage in performing a drama, and many of them with word are wordless roles or options to participate, right? So sometimes there's a narrator and sort of mime options. Sometimes there are simply characters without words or pictures or posters that a person could hold up, and they're still an active participant in the scripture. So even the idea of reading scripture can look differently, and I just want us to think about how that can look differently. Each of these lessons always has a take home that has a lot of visuals as well as ways to connect the learning beyond Sunday. And I think that's something that we also want to consider is how are people with varied abilities engaging with scripture and community outside of just our worship services where we gather corporately? And so we think very intentionally about that in the materials that we put out. The other thought about this is multi-sensory options. Remember how I talked about options and snacks and things? I think about how many different ways can people engage in the study of scripture? And Jesus thought about this. There was a reason they called him the good teacher, right? When he told people to remember something, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And it wasn't just read these words silently or follow along in a book. It was something to see, to feel, to touch, to taste and smell, as well as words that were paired with it, right? It was a completely multi-sensory moment. And therefore, it's really easy to remember. Things that you smell often are the easiest things to remember. So Jesus knew this about our bodies, that we needed multiple ways of engaging in something, multiple senses involved in order for us to fully remember. And that's often what we call learning, is things that we're able to then recall, right? So I think about that in our church services, and what does it look like for us to engage people in learning that is multi-sensory? And are we providing lots of different options in all of the things that we are engaging one another in? So finally, a few ideas on that idea of personalization. What does it look like to personalize some experiences for individuals? So One thing that I want to touch on that, because I kind of shared a few different ideas for that. And I think, again, it really depends on getting to know the person and what is going to make the most sense for that person. So if you have specific individuals that you'd like to form a plan for how is that person going to participate and serve in church, we could talk through that. But I do have a general option that I think is a great one when you do need significant support around an individual. And again, in educational settings, that's often known as wraparound support. And even in professional caregiving and service providers, they have what are called wraparound teams. I like the phrase interdependent community teams when we're talking about the church context, because again, each one of us is a puzzle piece with strengths as well as areas of need for support. So there might be a set of people, and it works out really well quite often to have four people or four designated groups, or at least just to break up a month into four separate weeks, right? And so this support is needed 4 weeks of the month. And obviously sometimes you have a month with 5 weeks, but we could work out those kinds of details later. So if you have supports that are needed for weeks 1, 2, 3, and 4, and those are all centered on that person's need for support, the beautiful thing that ends up happening is that what you have there is five puzzle pieces who now are connecting to one another. And I have oftentimes been that puzzle piece who needs support, and that is that those supports are divided up into the weeks in which I need them. And the beautiful thing has been the relationships and the sustained joint purpose that we connect over, and even the co-ministry that we get involved in, which can even be something like a trip to the grocery store, that I need the ride and I need some support with carrying my groceries out and bringing them to my house. But because we're going together as the person who's giving me a ride there, we're both picking up our groceries. And wouldn't you know, we're thinking about another person in our congregation whom we're going to make a meal for together because they need a meal as a part of their needs at the moment, right? So it's just these kinds of ideas in which ministry comes together and people come together serving with one another, even when that team has been intentionally formed around the need that that person or that family has. So we call those interdependent community teams. I just want to share with you a few great resources that we have come across or created over the last more than a decade that I've been connecting with churches as well as other experts in this area. And then I want to hear your questions and we can discuss a few things. So the first one I already mentioned is Accessible Gospel Inclusive Worship by the late Barbara J. Newman. That is revised and updated. So you might have seen that title with a very different looking cover a few years ago. And that is just, that's hot off the press in the last couple of months. It's also in Spanish now. So if you want to see the Spanish title, let me think if I can say it correctly. It's Evangelia Accesible, Adoración Inclusiva. I can say it in Spanish, just don't make me read the whole book. It's been translated by experts at the Calvin Institute of Christian Worship in their Spanish studies. So it's a fantastic resource. And that actually walks through those different areas, those vertical habits that I was talking about, and has an idea bank for each one of them that is just full of ideas for how to make worship inclusive when you are praising God and saying, God, I love you, or when you are worshiping God in a stance of lament and saying, God, why? Right? So, idea banks for each one of those areas, as well as obviously ideas for how to present the gospel in an accessible way. Bodybuilding is a devotional that celebrates inclusive community. And so that's just a really fun way to connect, whether that's at an individual, a group level, a family, or a corporate time of doing devotions. And there's also room in there to write your own stories of how people with disabilities have blessed, connected with, and helped your community flourish. Worship as One, Varied Abilities in the Body of Christ was the manuscript that Barb Newman was writing when she passed away in 2020. So we have published it as well as revised and updated just a little bit of the language and some of the resources so that those are all current. And this idea of the three-part plan for inclusive worship is actually content that's in that book. So if you really want to dive into more details about that, as well as examples of what that looks like in infant and toddler ministry, children and youth ministry, and corporate worship settings all across the country, those kinds of stories are in that book. She also wrote Autism in Your Church, if you're thinking specifically about people with autism. And so a lot of those responsive design ideas, you'll find even photocopyable and printable things in that book that relate specifically to some of the needs that may be coming up in your church context in which people with autism wish to participate, including a communion welcome story of sorts. A few other titles that I have just loved and appreciated, both the content in these books as well as the authors and what they contribute to the conversation of disability, ministry, and theology. Same Like Different Boat by Dr. Stephanie Hubach. She is hilarious and brilliant and a parent of a child with Down syndrome and talks a lot about the worldview of how disability is normal and it's the world that is a broken and abnormal place. And I just really encourage you to dive into anything Stephanie Hubach has to say or write. She's hilarious and brilliant and just a delightful person. Every Child Welcome by Katie Weatherby and Jolene Philo, obviously specifically geared towards children's ministry, but really a fun and an engaging book designed to help children's ministry leaders think about that family who shows up, how are you going to engage their children and help those children to participate in every way possible in a really inclusive and welcoming environment. So brilliantly written by parents, educators, and ministry leaders who get it. And that's Jolene and Katie. And finally, Dr. Lamar Hardwick, who is known on social media as the autism pastor, and he writes from the perspective of being an adult diagnosed with autism, who is also a pastor, and his exegesis is phenomenal. So even just as a study of what scripture might say, I recommend this book. But his book, Disability in the Church, A Vision for Diversity and Inclusion, is a wonderful book. And he can say a lot of things that I can't say as my position as an educator, a parachurch ministry leader, and as a white woman, but I will cheer him on as Pastor Lamar Hardwick and say, you preach it, brother, and I'm here to support churches doing the things that you're saying to do. He's a little hard on the church at times, but rightly so. And he actually just released a new title called How Ableism Fuels Racism. But again, that's a whole nother topic for another time, I think. So just some great resources to add to your library. And I know Jackie and I were already chatting about her adding those to resource libraries available. So I've done too much talking. I want to hear from each of you. Questions, thoughts, what this is making you see and celebrate, as well as what's making you wonder. And I will stop screen sharing so I can see your faces and we can see one another better.
Okay, well, I am going to start because I really like the point you made, Tori, about not making a person with a disability singled out, pointed to, all the attention, because many times that can be very embarrassing for them. And they just want to feel like everyone else. And so when you said that you offer things like noise canceling and those things like that to the church in general, like we just offer these, not for you who need them, but for anyone, right? Then it just, the invitation is open. And I think it makes families and those living with disabilities feel like they could ask for that without being specifically, we know you need this, go take it, sit over there with it kind of thing. I like that idea. I think it's very, very important about that. So I'm glad you brought that up. But I did have a question also. So in the provide a preview about the little boy who had his little booklet thing. Mm-hmm. So is the idea that any church member sharing, or is it really a disabled person within that congregation sharing, this is my church and these are experiences you will enjoy like I do?
You could do it either way, actually. I think a generic preview, for example, hotels, right? On their websites, they have a little tour of the room and here's the amenities offered and right, here's checkout time and where's the pool and all of those types of things. I think as congregations, we need to be thinking like that. And so many churches are starting to utilize their websites in that way of here's an introduction to us. Here's what it looks like to be involved. Here's what our worship looks like. And by the way, are you picturing people with varied abilities in on your website and pictured as a part of worship, right? Can you see those hearing aids, those walkers, right? All of the things so that it a person with a disability looking at what your church is putting out there to say you're welcome here, does it imply that I am welcome there? Right? Are there people like me who are already a part of this church? And not, again, not just receiving, but also serving. And so, again, as we think about particularly service opportunities or anything that we might be inviting people to participate in, I think about, so I was a part of our coffee hospitality team at a church we ran staff at years ago. So I was care center director, but I would also volunteer with the coffee ministry. And we used this idea to introduce people to the coffee ministry, including we put pictures on the inside of the cupboards of where things belonged, so that when we would say, you know, put things away, clean up after yourself when you're done at the end of service, well, now it was clear that this is what we meant by cleaned up.
Oh,
This is what the shelf looks like when you put things away properly. Here's the picture of the shelf and the things that belong on it at the end of the day, right? So just this idea of providing a visual or experiential preview of what you're getting into so that it's very clear what you mean when you say, come do this. And so again, that can be by video, it can be some pictures, and especially for some individuals who will need to know specifically for them, like for example, in our little story there, Jay, who wanted to know and it would help him to function to be able to participate, say, in children's ministry, if he knew that when he got there, he was going to start by singing with all ages and abilities, and then he was going to go with other children to this other space. Here's who he would be with there. This might be the leader who is in charge of that. This might be what the room looks like, right? And this might be the order of activities. And then at the end of it, he would rejoin his family so that that question of when's my mom coming? When's my mom coming? When's my mom coming? Right? It already provides some answers to things like that. So how could we apply that in, for example, a service project? We're going to go to this community center for our overall gathering. We're going to pray, we're going to sing, we're going to find our instructions, right? Then we're going to break into smaller groups. We're going to go out and rake leaves or bag up trash, right? Whatever it might be, the service project is that we're doing. Here's what that's going to look like. Here's some of the things you might be expected to do, right? And here's the order of events. And then this is the last thing that you'll do, and then you'll get to go home, right? That kind of a thing, so that again, for an individual who might have anxiety, some mobility differences, or just really needs that reference for things are happening in the right order, to know that they have that to lean on. So just a really helpful tool that can be modified in a lot of different ways. But I definitely recommend at least have a generic preview of your church service or whatever the activity is you're inviting people to, a basic preview for sure.
Okay, great.
One thing about social stories, and I've been wanting to do them for my parish, is that if you have social stories online, and we do this at the zoo, they can, and then the people can put them into a three-ring binder, and then if the day changes, if something's different, so have those special events also told out, so then it can be changed up, the story can be read out and utilized, and it works really well.
Yes, I call those same day, different day binders. Absolutely. So here's your category of this is what it's like on a usual day. And then you might have tabs behind that, oh, here's a different day. Here's what Christmas service looks like, or here's what the Easter service this year is going to look like, or oh, it's summer. We're changing things now. Exactly. Yes. I also, if people have verbal questions, please, by all means, but I'm just noticing some things in the chat as well that I would love to comment on if people want to go that direction. So Jessica shared about the language of identifying their gifts and that we should be empowering others and assisting them to identify their own gifts and desires and asking them how you can support them. I love how you phrased that. Absolutely. We all need our gifts identified, and sometimes we need help knowing what our gifts might be. And then, yes, absolutely asking people, how can we support you in utilizing your gifts and sharing them with others? Thank you for that. Teresa, you kind of added on to that about how sort of an in-depth intake form like that can scare off people who might just be wanting to check out the church for the first time. And I totally agree with that. And I've been there and done that and been the family who was like, oh, this check-in process is a lot. We're only coming one time. I really don't want to give you my life story and my children's life stories.
We're a little teeny tiny church. I mean, very small congregation. And, you know, it's probably a little daunting when somebody new walks in the door, just because there's no way to not feel like, you know, wow, I'm like totally all eyes are on me already. And we do try to be, of course, super welcoming and greeting. And someone will come over afterwards and talk to them. And oftentimes if they sit next to someone, and they agree to have their name announced, like, hey, we want to welcome so-and-so during our welcoming period, but we would never do it without asking them first.
Yeah.
But I couldn't imagine handing them a paper like that. But I could see that being like later on, if they kept coming back, I could see that working. So
yeah,
I think it's a neat idea. It'd be great info to have, but I think it would just send them running if we did it right away.
I'm with you there. Our church is also very, very small, and we have, what do they call it? A connect form, I think is what they call it. And it includes a box on the bottom that says questions, comments, and prayer requests. And so our pastors are always saying, we hope you got one of these in your hands. And if you don't fill anything else out, at least put your name. And if you have a prayer request, so we can pray for you. Right. Which I'm like, oh, you guys are smart. But I agree. I think even when our family started going there, we didn't fill that out the first time we went. It was maybe the third time we went that we finally filled it out and turned it in. So I agree. And that's a really great caveat of, you know, there's some boundaries around when it makes sense to do this. But I think, for example, checking in children or when someone says, yes, I'd like to participate in, again, whether that's VBS or joining the worship team or, you know, signing up for a class, for example, right? Kind of committing to a little bit of something. That's when you would have that kind of intake form. That's, again, as simple and as few questions as possible. But by asking those two questions about some gifts and some areas for support, those are just really important pieces to put in there. So I appreciate the thought too of for first time visitors. Oh, that could be a lot.
So is this something, Tori, that could be included like in the welcome packet? That you just hand them and then they can just go home and in their leisure kind of read it and then not feel like they have to fill it out right then and there.
Exactly.
But they have to think about it and to consider, would that maybe be a solution, especially in a smaller church like Teresa's, where they can be so daunting?
In fact, I would also go far as to say, again, think about options, right? How does this family communicate best? So is filling something out by hand really going to work for them? Is filling something out online going to work best? Do you have an option for them to maybe call and answer those questions or to sit with someone and answer it as an interview, right? I've also been in the position of being that family who's now standing in the hallway, someone's typing things into a computer screen and asking those questions about me and my husband and my children, and do you have disabilities and diagnosis? And I'm sitting here thinking, there are like 100 people in this hallway. I'm not going to spill all of this out loud to you right now while you type it in. Like, do you have the online form I can go fill out? Or is there a room we could go to and do this individually? Or can we do this later? Exactly. So it kind of goes back to that idea of think options. How many different ways do you have as a reasonable way that your church can take in the information? You know, do you have a simple Google form that could work, as well as a paper form that they could fill out, again, like you said, on their time, in a way that works for them. So,
and I think sensitivity is the big thing too, right? You were very sensitive that everyone's looking and listening. And just like it was where we don't single a person out who needs headphones, in the same way, we're just sensitive about the fact that many of those questions, you know, I don't think I want people to ask me a bunch of personal questions in front of everyone. So I think sensitivity would be true for everyone, regardless of ability. We need to definitely be careful about not alienating a person because of that. Right. Because we dive in.
Absolutely.
Right. Immediately.
Yep. And I think it's also true. And this is on our template for that intake form too, of, you know, this information is being gathered so that we can support your participation in the church at the point, you know, in the ways that you want to participate. That's the goal of why we're asking these questions. And I think that's important too, because there are so many of us who have been de-churched because of our needs or the supports that it takes for us to participate. And so, you know, things like that and the way that questions get asked or the way that information gets used is really important for us as churches to think about. Other questions?
Tori, could I ask, could you just talk a little bit more about your ministry and what types of relationships you form with churches and what that looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that question. Yeah, with ministries, we partner with churches all around the country in a variety of ways. We do have a bunch of different online resources, for example, the Together Bible Study curriculum, as well as supports, including other resources and coaching and consulting, so that we're equipping your church and the staff members and volunteers that are working within your congregation to be equipped to be places of belonging for people of all abilities. And so we do a lot of trainings like this conversation, as well as, you know, if it's helpful for us to join in some staff meetings or to connect regularly with someone who is the voice at the table at those staff meetings who's saying, okay, yep, how are we making this accessible? What about people with disabilities? Just like you have someone at the table saying, what about the children? How are we planning for our children for this event, right? And so, yep, we have a lot of different ways that we're engaging with churches. So we have a couple of different subscriptions available, whether you want to get access to some of our resources, get a hold of our monthly newsletter. If you'd like to start a Bible study that is specifically designed to be inclusive of people of all abilities, whether that's using the Together curriculum or whatever works for you, and we have some supports to help you launch those kinds of things. So that's a few of the ways that we like to partner with churches.
Thanks.
You're so welcome. Where are you? What's your context? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I'm a church that's been a longtime supporter of Bridge Ministries. I serve on the board of directors for Bridge as well. And so, yeah, we've been doing Sunday celebrations with Bridge for, I don't know, 25 or 30 years, maybe.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, I love that. Thank you for serving.
You're welcome.
My goodness, we only have
Jan,
5 minutes
muted.
Left.
I think Jan's going to speak in a moment.
I'll take
Go
off
ahead, Jan.
Okay. So do you have any materials for churches to have outreach to people in, say, family care homes or who are lonely and disabled? And it's just hard, such an effort to find a way to get to church, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock. And I know in our community, we have a lot of family care homes, and several of those people have, from many of them have come to the dinner. And so it's just, I just think there's lonely people who would like some friendship. And our church has great goals, and it just, we haven't gotten there yet, but hopefully now that we're really kind of getting past COVID and past every, you know, disease stuff. I mean, that's a real issue too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people were literally shut out of settings like those.
Yeah. Homes. But, but there's such a need in the community as well. And and it's one thing to, I mean, I think the churches need to be welcoming, but also I think there's a great potential for creating love and friendships by being outgoing.
Absolutely agree. And I think that's one of the ways that those interdependent community teams could really come into play. Because if you have four individuals, each willing to go once a month, right? Yeah. Whether that's to go sit and have coffee or join a crocheting group or sing or whatever it might be that is engaging to the group of people that you're going to go and gather with, or why not hold a Bible study at that home, right? They can be the host site and everyone else brings the snacks and brings the supplies and leads the Bible study, but you're just doing it there. That way people can engage. That's one option. But yeah, otherwise those community teams in which, again, if you've got four people committed to each going once a month, and now you have people who are communicating with one another as that team, as well as intentionally engaging in relationship, then, you know, it's amazing what can happen in just a couple of months in terms of forming relationship because you're there regularly. And so setting that up can sometimes feel like you're forcing it a little bit because, you know, you're on a monthly schedule and things like that. But because you're being that intentional and providing that structure, number one, it helps people to be able to say yes, because it's very well defined what it is they're saying yes to, as opposed to church, we need to build relationship with this group of people, right? It's very specific. We need two people to come this week, two people to come this week, right? It's very defined. And people could sign up for 3 months at a time, right? And then reevaluate as a group. How's this working? Is this often enough? Is it too often? Do you need a break? That kind of a thing. And it also allows for some intermediary communication of maybe you are the point person for the home, and maybe you're not even the one who goes there any of those weeks. That allows them to say, hey, we love this. This isn't working out so well, right? To be able to offer some freedom to communicate, and therefore you can join with the team, which just, it sort of takes some of the pressure off for everybody to have to jump into it as if you're all going to be friends right away and everything's going to work really smoothly, right? And it allows for some very honest communication about what's working, what's not working, and how to build in supports. But I think just that goal for everyone's mind to be, it's not just that you show up here and you do this activity. The goal is relationship.
Exactly.
So
yeah. So it's a ripe field for personalization.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, we are at the end of our hour. Thank you for joining. Tori, thank you again for a great presentation, sharing such good and useful information. This is the goal of the Beacon Church Collaborative meetings, to really offer a lot of practical things. So I'm hoping everyone can go away from this thinking, I think I can start that. I think we can look at that. I think I know the questions I need to ask, whatever it may be, to really make ministry with really a part of who they are as a church. And that's really what I'm after. I'm passionate about that. Anyway, thank you everyone for coming together for this meeting. Second quarter, I'll send out information about that. It'll be really right around the corner, just a couple of months away for us to have our next speaker and our next topic. That's for sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Tori. It was great. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been a delight.
Cheers. 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 Cheers.